We're going to start with Gemara here on Lamed Amud Aleph, right after the point where we left off before Yom Tov. Ha'ud Amale L'Chavrei My Boys V'Hai Beisa. So first, just a quick little Gemara here, a couple of lines. Again, we did the previous topic that we did was the topic of Shkuni Gavoy. And there were four or five different interpretations, important different interpretations of that sugya. Basically, there was a range, but the story was that one fellow said to the other guy, "What are you doing in my property?" And the other fellow said, "What do you mean, ano b'shuni gavoy havoy?" So the Rashbam interpreted that to mean that the Marakama was saying to him, "I never left. I've been here the whole time. I've been sharing this karka with you." But the Ramban and the Raivin, the whole group of Rishonim, interpreted that the case was not that at all. That when he responded to him and he said, "I'm not the Shkuni Gavoy Avoy," what he was saying to him was, "I didn't have a chance to object to your presence because I've been in some far-flung place, some distant place. Therefore, either I wasn't aware of your presence, or I was in some place so distant that I wasn't capable of effectively protesting your presence. Either way, the point is, I was not capable of responding, you know, until now, and now it's after the 3-year point." So, according to the way the Ramban read the Gemara, the way the Raivid read the Gemara, turns out that the argument between Rav Nachman and Rava, they're the ones who argue whether to paskin with the Marakama or to paskin with the Maksik in this particular case, turns out to be an argument about a very crucial issue. What happens if there is a dispute about the potential of hearing the Chazakah or protesting the Chazakah? In other words, to frame it the way the Ramban does, if there's a debate about, if there's some controversy about whether the proper mecha'ah was made, right, so the suffix, whether there was a proper mecha'ah, is al hamarakama lohia. Because then what we're saying is there's a proper hazaka, right, the machzik did everything that he was supposed to be doing. The question is, did the marakama respond properly in kind or not? And if there's some doubt whether the marakama took the proper steps, and we're not sure whether he did or he didn't, so the burden of proof is with him, and therefore the mukzakos, let's say, is is firmly that of the machzik. On the other hand, if there was a sapek chazaka, let's say we weren't sure, there's a dispute about the facts regarding the quality of the chazaka or the quantity of the chazaka. We're not sure whether or not the machzik really was there for 3 years. There's some question about that. Or whether or not his behavior in the karka during the 3 years was appropriate, you know, given his claim of ownership. Was he machzik ba kidemechazki ba inchi? So if you have a suffik chazaka, so then you're going to say, ala machzik lochich. It's not the marakama's burden to prove that the machzik wasn't machzik, more likely than not. It's the machzik's burden to prove that he behaved in a manner that is consistent with his claim. So safek chazaka is al hamachzik lochiach, one would assume. Safek mecha is al hamarakama lochiach. All that is very reasonable, and that's the background for the Ramban's reading of Shkuni Gavoy. The question is, what happens when you have the following in between cases? Safek, whether or not the chazaka was nitenes lemecha, or because of one of two reasons, suffek whether or not the marakama was in a position to hear it, or suffek even if he heard it, whether he was in a position to respond to it. So suffek nitan lemakaa or nitan lishmiya, where does that stand? Is that like suffek chazaka, or is that like suffek mekaa? And that's exactly the debate between Rava and Rav Nachman, according to the Ramban's reading of the Gemara. Right? It's reasonable to think that if you have a suffik nitan l'mechah, whether something is objectionable, whether or not there's the capacity to protest it, so it might have thought that that's just a subcategory of suffik mechah. After all, everybody agrees the chazaka was done properly. Or no, properly. Or no, is it that the potential for Mecha is built in. That's part of the structure of what a Chazaka is. A Chazaka which doesn't trigger the response of Mecha or the capacity for the response of Mecha, even if it's absolutely not the fault, no blame assigned to the Machzik. But nonetheless, it isn't the Chazaka which, given the reality, is the tenets l'mecha, so that ends up being a chazaka problem. So that's the argument between Rava and Rav Nachman according to the Rambam. Why am I mentioning that now when we finished that Gemara last time? Because that reading of the Gemara, that's one of four readings of the Gemara, but that particular one, the one of the Rambam, the Ravid, ends up being most Rishonim, works perfectly with the next lines in the Gemara, the ones that we're about to read now. According to the Ramban, basically, the previous Shchuni Gavai is repeated in the next Gemara, known as Shuki Baroi. Okay, sounds like, you know, they're connected. But this is how the Gemara goes. Ha'ud Amalei L'chabre, one man says to the other, right? My boy is by Besa. The Marakama says to the Machzik, what are you doing in my home? Amalei, he answers him, Minach Zvinte, I bought it from you. Ve'achaltia Shnei Chazaka, and I've been here the requisite amount of years, I've established a Chazaka in the property. So the Marakama turns to the Machzik and he says, I don't doubt that you've been here, that you can prove that you've been here for 3 years. However, my response to you is, Amalei, Vishuki Baroi Havoi, I've been in a faraway shuk. And therefore, as Rashbam explains, the Eretz Merchakim, Makom She'ena Shayaros Mitsuyos, I've been in a place which is essentially made me incommunicado, V'layadati, and therefore I didn't know that you were in the property, V'lekach L'machisi, and therefore, it's not just that I didn't mocha, but I have a good reason I wasn't mocha, from the objective circumstances that I found myself in, it wasn't nitan l'mecha. Exactly how the Ramban reads Shkuni Gavai. It's not the Pirkin, Hayyabuhudav Bihiksik Begalil. That's the Mishnah later on in Lamed Chesam and Aleph that we already read because we were co-raised some of this Parak L'mafreya. We went backwards a little bit, or front and back. Eina Chazaka Acheimo B'medina B'osamalchos Tavashayaris Mitsuyos. As we know, there has to be the potential for communicating and first hearing and then communicating back. Inami, Ikalukum, Vishas Cherum, even if it isn't a distance matter, it's a time of political crisis where, again, communications have been affected. Valpila Osa Medina, and therefore, even if you've compromised the communications, mechanism, so, Afil Osa Medina, even if you're in the same country, in theory, if there's no way to communicate, then there's no way to know. Kil Kama Bahai Pirkin. The Chain Pirshua Hagonim Kipirish Redachanano. Of a Balokrab Shashiaris Mitsuyas. But like a Cherum, but if a person is in a communicable place, meaning he's not too distant, and the means of communication are accessible, then Lomotzi Tainach can say, oh, I Lomaisa, I just didn't hear about it. Right? That's not the problem of the Machzik. Right? That's a problem of the Marakama. That's his obligation to be in touch like a regular person with the fate of his karka. The Kama of the Pirka Maksika Bidiksei Boreach, right? You can establish a chazaka even if somebody is a fugitive. The Mecha Shalom Afanav Hava Mecha Bikon Leyadati Shehizagish Poni Bekarka Shali or the Kachlo Machisi. If the guy claims but I still didn't know, therefore I couldn't respond, Eidon Amon. Just as we say that a long distance protest is effective, you don't have to be standing in the presence. The Machzik can't say, oh, I didn't hear about the protest, because we say there's a grapevine. So too, the Omerlah Machzik Kemochein Omru Lezesh Che Adam Echad Machzik Bekarka Shalo Hol Vishayoros Mitzuyos Bekein Alacha. But so too, we assume that the normal system of communication is going to be operative. So Shuki Baroi is an excellent continuation of the Gemara, according to maybe too repetitive, but certainly parallel in the to the Gemara. Actually, Rabban is a little bit bothered by the fact that it seems to be too repetitive. So he says, Shkuni Gavai, Shkuni Gavar, Barai, one is to the south, one is to the north. Obviously, you know, the geography is completely insignificant to the you know, legal conceptual issues here. There are two different cases, but in Achrami they're the same issue. Which makes it also interesting, the next line, the Gemara says, Amale, va isli sa'adi de kol shata hava asis plus and yomi. Number one, it's interesting. In other words, before, if assuming Shkini Gavai and Shukim Baroi are the same case, before we encounter the argument of Rava and Rav Nachman, whether Safek, Hoya v'mokom, Shenitan Hoya l'shmoa, or Limchos, is that considered ala machzik or ala marakal? Exactly what we just discussed. Here, the Gemara seems to be assuming that if it's true that he's in a place where he can't hear or he can't be mocha, then in Ochanami, the burden of proof is on the machzik and not on the marakama. That seems to be accepted here. However, the Gemara says something else. And that is that the fellow machzik responds to the marakama and he says, what do you mean you were incommunicado for the last 3 years? After all, I have witnesses that every year you are in town 30 days. Every year you come to this location for 30 days. So he doesn't deny that. It's true, I come every year to the town for 30 days, but that's when I do my business. It's a very intense period, and as such, I'm completely preoccupied in that 30 days. This already is a kind of a much more nuanced case. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Avid Inish, the Koltlas Yomi, Tarid Bishuka. This is an acceptable argument. That's an amazing thing. I mean, to claim that I'm so preoccupied. Now, what is he claiming? I'm here locally, but what? I didn't hear about it? Or I'm here locally, and I wasn't mocha? So this is an interesting issue on two levels. One could argue in both directions. On the one hand, you might say, how credible is it that a guy is in town and he's there for 30 days, he's so preoccupied that he doesn't hear that somebody is in his karka? From a credibility point of view, that seems to be stretching things, yet the Gemara seems to accept the sign, la halakha, we accept the sign. People can be that preoccupied in their intense business transactions. It's amazing. On the other hand, there's another perspective, one second, and that is the possibility that he's not denying that he heard about it. What he's denying is that he had the time to protest. So in terms of credibility, that makes more sense, right? But in terms of responsibility, that's a bigger chiddush. I mean, I know that somebody's in my property, but my preoccupation is an excuse not to protest. Wow. But that would be a chiddush. So that's 2 days in the Rajbam. Just very interesting. Look at the Rajbam, Bishukoi Havataridna. Bishukoi Havataridna Limkar Skorasi. Right? I've been busy selling my wares in the Shuk. Biliknos Sacheres. Right? And buying and selling and all the other good entrepreneurial things. Beloyadati Shata Darbadesi. So I didn't know that you've been living in my house, even though I'm here 30 days every year. Okay? Obviously, there has to be mitzvahs. Are you staying in a hotel? He's staying in his, this is his guest house, or he's staying in his guest house, as the case may be. I'd say it strains credibility a little bit. That's why I think it's a chiddush to take this position. On the other hand, then second shot, the Eishon Farshim, the Shukai Avitaridna, the Lohayali Pnai Limchos. I knew, but I didn't have the opportunity to challenge. Avishadati. Here he says, Ve'eno Nira Ve'enai. Sounds like the Rajbam is saying, listen, once you know, and you have the ability, and it's not that the communication system doesn't allow for you to protest, right? You're making a conscious decision. So this is like a very fascinating question. I mean, do you have the right to say, well, you have no right to be in my property, and all things being equal, if I know about it, I should be protesting. However, the structure or the fabric of entrepreneurial life is such that if the only opportunity that I have to protest is in the 30 days when I'm in town and I'm intensely involved in making a living, so then I'm not obligated to protest either. it's a conscious decision that he's making, right? I'm giving up the protest for the sake of my commercial interests, maybe otherwise understandable commercial interests, but it's still, I mean, if it's a situation where I don't know, or it's a situation where I'm Bishuki Barai, and I know, but I just can't communicate, you know, I'm an anus, so to say that that's a chazaka shaloni tenes lemecha makes a lot of sense. Is it true that the fabric of commercial life, right, will determine that taking time out to protest, you know, is listening to Shura Sadin? It's not a basic obligation. Sorry?
He does not have to do
whatever. I mean, whatever mechanism he has to set up. Well, he doesn't have to, he has to do the macaw.
He has to protest, or he can't send the shliach to be broken.
Sure he can. He can do that even from Spain.
Right. No, so if he's in town.
Whatever it is, he's claiming, lo highly p'nai limchos, I didn't have time to do that either. I'm not in the business world. You're the economist, so.
Which is even less
bad. No, yeah. So the question is when the Rashbam here says, Eino Niro Be'inai, is the Rashbam saying, you know, that's just not credible? Right? Or I thought that the Rashbam was making the legal point here. I mean, the first one strains, you know, credulity. Meaning he doesn't, he's living in town, and, you know, and somebody's in his house, and he's there for 3 years, but every year for 30 days, and he never hears about this, and we're supposed to believe that? Right? To me, the Eino Niro Be'inai is more of a legal point. Namely, do I have the right to say, listen, this is part of my, the hurly-burly, of economic life, and it's ki'ilo amdemokom, you know, shiloni tenes l'makom. I just think it's a fascinating sideline issue. It's two issues. It's, you know, is such an intense schedule something that the halakha recognizes even in a circumstance where other people's interests are affected by it? Right? That's one. And number two, of course, the degree to which, again, the question of burden is on either the Marakama or the Matzik. Again, if we see the Marakamas fundamentally being in a stronger position, and we just have to, you know, we have to undermine that position. It has to be a reyesa. So, even a weaker kind of excuse or explanation, as long as it's credible, will be accepted. If basically anything less than him being anus gomor, you know, allows the machzik, you know, to take over the property, then probably, you know, yocholti limchos aval, you know, tirdasi, mana mimeni, that's probably not such a strong argument. So I think there really are two issues here. One about whether we legally accept this level of preoccupation, and B, whether or not this doesn't reflect, again, the balance of power between the Marakama and the Enemach.
I suspect people who worked in law firms
could
understand.
Could be.
Really?
Could be. Anyways, okay. So now let's move on to the next Gemara. But anyway, that's an interesting, especially according to the Ramban, this is a continuation for that reason, with the added issue of the Tlas and Yom and Tarez Bishuka. And according to other Rishonim, this is just a new halakha. This is the halakha of Safek, or, you know, Davar Shulani Tenes, L'shmiya or L'macha. According to the other Rishonim, the Kiddush here is that there's no argument of Rav and Rav Nachman. It appears that everybody agrees that Davar Shalonitan L'shmoa or Davar Shalonitan L'macha is something which is a chisaron in the Chazaka, not just in the Macha, and that's Muskam, that's agreed by both Rava and Rav Nachman. That's if you don't hold like the Ramban. Okay. So now let's move on to the next case, which is equally interesting. All the cases here are interesting. Three lines from the bottom. Ahuda amale lechavrei. So one man says to the other, My baris b'hai ara. What are you doing in my property? Same claim. Probably each time it's a different response. That's why we're learning new things each time. Amale, the plimies of inta. The Amali, the Zavna Minach. Okay, this is a little bit of a complicated case. Instead of saying, I bought the property from you, right, I've been here 3 years, this case, what he says is, I acquired the property from Plony, right? Plony told me that he bought the property from you. So there is no direct connection here between the Matzik and the Marakama. There's an acknowledgement of Marakama, right? But there is a problem with the Taina of the Matzik. He is reliant upon a middleman, right? It's hearsay for the middleman that the middleman actually was a legitimate owner in his own right. Now, it's also not clear in the case, are there Gimel Shnei Chazaka here? The simple reading of the Gemara is that there are no Gimel Shnei Chazaka. Well, if there are no Gimel Shnei Chazaka, and there's no Taina, so what's the case? So, in fact, the Gemara's conclusion is that this Machzik is going to lose. Gemara says, Amalei, at love kavodis, aren't you admitting to me the high ara didihi? Aren't you admitting that this is previously my karka? The atlos of intavinai, you're also admitting that you didn't buy it from me. Zil, la baldvar didiat, so leave, because I have no connection. Even you admit that we have no connection to one another. I'm the Marakama. You can't trace your ownership back to me. And therefore, please leave my property. And the Gemara says, Amarava Dina Kabbalai. Okay. But, I mean, there's nothing for the Machzik. He has no Gimel Shanim, no Taina. And he has a Shar. So the Rashbam says that he has a Shar. The Rashbam says two things, actually. We'll read the Rashbam in a second. It's a little bit of a long Rashbam, and then it's going to be an even longer Tosfos, but, you know, this is our task. So the Rashbam says basically he has a shtar for which ties into the mocher, and secondly, it's very possible that there is no raya of Marakama without him, or at least what he's quoting in the name of the mocher. And as in a regular case, as we've discussed many times, the situation is that the Marakama has bona fide evidence. He has established his credentials as a Marakama. And now the question is, what about the Machzik? Where does he come to this land? In a situation where the Marakama, right, is only established by the Machzik, so normally we call that a Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitya, which gives power to the Machzik. The Mishnah says in Ksuvis, Tetzav Mubeis, which I guess would have been on the sheets if I had been a little more computer knowledgeable. This is like the final piece of computer knowledge that I needed to become, almost like a master or grandmaster. Umod Rav Yeshua, Ba'omer L'Chaver, Mishnah says in Ksuvis, we discussed this Mishnah actually the last time that we met, or two times ago, because the whole discussion of Shkuni Gavoy, the Rif, is connected to this problem. The Rif quoted the Yesh Omrim, who said that the Shkuni Gavoy case, one of the four pshatim, is that the only basis that the Marakama has in this karka is the admission of the Masik, Pashas of Pashiyatar. It's based on this mission. This mission says in Ksuvis, Mod Rabbi Yeshua, Ba'omer L'Chaver, Son of Zushal Avicha, Ha'isa L'Kachti, Yehimenu, She'u Nema. We're not going to quote for the rest of the sheets, we'll leave that for next week, but the Mishnah basically says that if the Machzik is also the one who establishes the basis for the Marakama, then we believe the Machzik. And the Gemara there in Ksuvis goes on to say, even the situation where he doesn't have Gimel Shanim, he only needs Gimel Shanim if the Marakama is in a position of strength in his own right. If the Marakama is a Marakama only because of the admission of the Machzik, then even without Gimel Shanim, we believe him. Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir. That's the Gemara. So the point is, if you look at the Rashbam here, the Rashbam, might as well just read it inside, on Lamed Amud Beis, Rashbam goes through various scenarios. What is this case talking about? Amalei ploni zavinte dezavne minach. Klomar, says the Rashbam, top Rashbam. Sha'amali b'shas mechira shehu lakha mimech or mimcha. This guy told me when I bought it from him that he bought it from you. And that's interesting also, because it sounds in the Rashbam as if the lokeach, being the fellow of the matzik now, he would not have known that the other fellow was a marakama if not for the mocher. His knowledge, which establishes the marakama, comes from the mocher, who also claims that he bought it from him. Now the reason that's important is, we'll soon discuss, this is the another piece that would have been in the Marmakomos, the Ramban and the Ravid have this debate about this question. Does it matter if the status of Marakama has its origin in the Machzik, right, or only in the Mocher? Because the Mocher, I'll explain in a minute, is telling a fuller story. Right, the Machzik is basically saying, you are the owner, previous owner, right? And I what? Not I bought it from you. Not that I know it was bought from you. I bought it from the middleman who claims it was bought from you. He's got a taina problem. But the mocher doesn't have a taina problem. The mocher told the lokeach, I'm the bona fide owner. I bought it from the other fellow who was previously the marakama. So just, we'll get back to it soon, but let me just say it this way. The Ramban is of the opinion that if indeed the source of marakama comes from not the machzik, but the mocher, the middleman, if that's the only reason that anybody knows, since there are no witnesses, the marakama claims to be the previous owner, but he has no witnesses. The machzik doesn't know anything. His only source of information is the mocher. Now the mocher told the whole story. He didn't just say he's the old owner. He said, he's the old owner, and I bought the property. If the mocher were now in court, and the issue was his ownership, let's say he was Mafsik Bakarka, would he win?
Yes.
Absolutely. So now, if the lokeach, or Mafsik, we'll call him, either way, right, he's a lokeach from the mocher, he's the present Mafsik, if he's saying, I'm just the, you know, Bokoach, I'm coming from the mocher. If not for the story I'm telling in the name of the mocher, the marakama would not be in any position, right, to make a claim even, because he has no evidence whatsoever. The only reason we know he's a marakama is from the mocher. That same mocher, the source of marakama's legitimacy, is telling us that he bought the property, and had it been him in court right now, because he had been the machzik, not me, who came from him, then that would have certainly won the case. That's the Mishnah in Ksuvos. So does it matter that now we're one step removed, and that the lokeach is quoting this in the name of the mocher?
Does that make it hearsay?
So what? But without the hearsay... It may be hearsay, but without the... And this isn't Eidus, this is a taina. So, in Eidus, there's a problem of hearsay. That's called Eid Mipi Eid. That's no good.
Yeah.
Right. But we're not talking about Eidus, we're talking about a taina. But it's more than that. Without the hearsay, I would say to you it's hearsay. Number one, this is a taina, not Eidus. If you thought there was a problem in a taina for hearsay, then why do you accept the part about him being the previous owner? Why are you being selective in accepting hearsay for what, you know, undermines my claim, and not hearsay for what reinforces my claim? That's the principle of Pashas.
The claim is not hearsay. This master, whatever you want to call him, says he's not a master.
No, he doesn't know.
He says, I bought it. Well, no.
No, I bought it from the mocher.
Yeah, and he happens to say that he got it from you.
But if he didn't say that he got it from you, right, then we wouldn't know that you were the previous owner. And if you weren't the previous owner, then even if I didn't have any taina, I wouldn't even have to respond to your claim.
Yeah.
So basically, the only reason that the marakama is a formidable opponent is because of the mocher. So you want to accept the hearsay of the mocher to make the marakama a formidable opponent, but you don't want to accept the rest of what the mocher said?
No, I'm trying to hang out, but I'm saying it sounds like the way this is being constructed, that it sounds like this lokeh has the upper hand. He's getting a very good sign on his voice.
Exactly. So that's what the Ramban says.
Yeah.
I'll just read you the line, and we'll see next week inside, but this is the Ramban's idea. The Ramban says, Avamai de Amarle Hahu Gavra Dizidehi Lav Hoda. What this means, this is Ramban. Ramban saying, if the source of our knowing that he's the Marakama comes from the Mocher, then we should take everything the Mocher said, lock, stock, and barrel. Right? Which means that the Machzik will win the case, even though he himself doesn't have a clue, except for quoting the Mocher. And in the end, yeah, he says it must be that the case here is a case where what happens, remember, the case in the Gemara is a case where who wins? Not the Machzik, but the Marakama. Marakama says, listen, you don't have a taina, get off my property. La baldarim didia, I have no connection with you. I don't know you. You don't know me. You admit that you don't know me, except to know that I was a previous owner. But you don't know me in any way that gives you rights in the acknowledged property, previous property at minimum, of mine. So la baldarim didia. Right? So what the Ramban is saying is, if the only source of Marakama's authority is the Mocher, then this psak would be wrong. Right. So it must be that the case is a case where, even though the Machzik / Lokeach, he doesn't know what happened between the Marakama and the Mocher, but he independently knows what? That the Marakama is a previous owner of the property. He knows that aside from the Mocher. So then the part that he's quoting from the Mocher, you want to call it hearsay, that's fine now. Meaning, there's no what we call Peshas and Peshahitir from the Mocher, because we know independent of the Mocher that the Marakama is the owner. We know that from the Machzik / Lokeach. He has a Pesha Asar, but he doesn't have a Pesha Hit there because he doesn't have a clue, you know, what really happened between the Mocher and the Marakama. So that's what the Ramban says. The case has to be a case where the source of information about the Marakama comes independently from the Lokeach Machzik and not from the Mocher. The Ravid disagrees. Says, Afa Pisha Rav, Rav Avram, Rav David, the Rabbi says, no, that's the case. The case of the Gemara is a case where all the information comes from the Mocher. The Machzik Lokeach doesn't know anything. He doesn't know who the previous owner is. He doesn't know what happened, you know, how the Mocher got his hands on the property. All he knows is what he heard from the Mocher. Exactly what we just said. But if that's true, so how come you're not awarding the property to the Lokeach, the Machzik? So the Rabbi says, below mina na pashasa pashayitir, ela bedavar sha osra osa midiasa umatiro midiasa. Strange language. Says, we only say pashasa pashayitir when the Mocher is like in court. He's having a din Torah with the other guy, and he makes this statement, right? Midiasa. Meaning he's involved in it in Torah, and knowingly, you know, with full understanding of the repercussions, it's his, you know, karka, which is on the line, and he makes the statements that he makes. But what he tells the lokeach, right, when there's no din Torah at the moment between the mocher, that's called, right, eina. That's not davar she'osro osro midiaso matir midiaso. Avalacha zeh shama mipia mocher. Right? why not believe him, right? The guy's, you know, what he's saying is to his own detriment, you should believe him. But the part that he says, V'chihad of Yomar, ana zav neminei, zav davar etzlo v'safek, eilulah min ol z'chuso. The part where he says, aha, but I bought it from him, why should you believe him about that? That's just self-serving. The part that is self-incriminating, the other guy is for the original owner, that's what the Hasbara is. The part that's self-serving, we should be suspicious about. And we should apply the rule of, ein safek motzi midei vadai. In kein, havelei kapach safek uvadai, ein safek motzi midei vadai. That's the right thing. So the Ramban says, ein dvar malalu etzli ela divrei habai. This comment of the Ravid, you know, that the Pashas Pashahitra of the Mocher doesn't help the Lokeach slash Machzik because it wasn't made in the context of a clash between the Marakama and the Mocher himself, I think that's ridiculous. The Rabbi, Shazen Neman Ulomar Kach Vekach Omeli Ploni Migudi Boyomer Labdi Daku, but also Ploni Neman Hayalomar Miploni Lekachdiya Bedin Migu. Sheilu the Bezin Omar Kane Hayamamina Mosa. Let's say the Mocher was in Bezin, wouldn't we believe him? He said all this. Meaning what? That he was in the middle of the Torah with the other guy, or that he said it to Bezin as opposed to it being told over? It's not so clear. Akshav Sha'amar Lo, Lama Ye Neman, Lama Lo Ye Neman. I'm sorry? No, he doesn't discuss it there, in that case. Again, there's no middleman there. The case there is where the guy himself says, you know, there's only going to be in a case. So this is a really fascinating issue, right? Now the Rashbam here has a line where he says, one more time, now what does that mean? The source of information or the claim that he bought it from you comes from him? Or even the mimcha part comes from him. Namely, that you were the previous owner, even that comes from him. Not so clear. That's the argument between the Ramban and the Ravid. Right? If you're quoting somebody else's Pesha Asar in your Din Torah, right, does it have the same effect as a borrowed Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, if you will? Does that work for you or not? That's the argument. We'll analyze it more fully, but that's not clear. That's a major critical argument. Okay. The Rashbam goes on to say, Uma'akar shelo ta'an v'achalti shnei chazaka. He doesn't say, and I've been here for 3 years. So number one, he doesn't know how the property came to the mocher. So he's lacking in taina. Number two, he doesn't have gimel shanim either. But shtar mechira shelo adenu biyado. On the other hand, he's maybe even better. He can prove that he bought the land from the mocher. He has a shtar. That's actually stronger than the gimel shanim. But that's vis-a-vis the mocher, not vis-a-vis the marakama. Right? There's a triad here. There's a triangle. Maskani the milsa mukminu la biyada ma'arer lahalacha. We give the property back to the marakama. I know time, but the kibbutz modus shaloi a karka mitzchila. Since this guy admits that he's a marakama, lo mi boyeched lo ichzik lo gimel shanim. Never mind the case where there's no gimel shanim. I feel it ichzik lo gimel shanim nami in a chazaka. Let's say he has gimel shanim and he has a shtar. None of this is going to help him because of one prevailing reality, namely chazaka she'eni mataina. The Mishnah mem aleph from an aleph lo ava chazaka. As long as you can't connect the dots and you can't with certainty claim that the property, right, was legitimately purchased from the Marakama, that gap is going to destroy you. Umafkinu aminei, we take it away. The chazaka sheni matayimu hi, shehu eni yodea imayisa shalo se shemacho lo imla, v'havale ki hikir ba desada sheni shalo, shel mocher, v'yachsi reno lemar. Let's say he buys, like any case where he buys a property from someone, and it turns out the person who sold him the property wasn't the real owner, right? So what does he do? He has to give the property back to the real owner. Then he takes the mocher to court and says, you swindled me, you sold me a property that you didn't own. Fine? That's what you should do here as well. That's what you do here. You give the property back to the Marakama, then you go back to the Mocher, and you say, listen, if you can't prove that you bought the property from the Marakama, then you should pay up to me. But it's a little bit of a different situation here, because the Mocher is still claiming that he's a legitimate owner, if I hadn't swindle you. That's the problem. The Apogam Delek Edu Ma'arer. Ah, but in this whole case, it's a Pesh Asa Pesh Yitir, because without the story of the Machzik, the Marakama wouldn't have any authority whatsoever. Right? That's Apogam Delek Edu Ma'arer. Midikamar, based on the language of the Gemara, Billo Modusly, the guy says, don't you admit that the property is mine? What do we need him to admit that the property is his? He has Edim that the property was his. It sounds in the Gemara that we're dealing with a situation of Pesha Asa Pesha Yitir. The only reason that we know that he was the Marakama is because of the say-so of the Machzik. So you might think, oh, that puts the Machzik in a stronger position to challenge the Marakama. There wouldn't be a Marakama without him. The Ma'arer, that would be great. The problem isn't lack of clout. You know, for it's not something you don't have a strong enough migu. That you have. The problem is, soap, you're still missing a taina. And you can't overcome that problem. Again, the Ramban is saying, you could overcome that problem if the Pesha also Pesha Hitta belonged to the Mocher. And the Mocher had a taina. So we'll take the Mocher's taina together with his Pesha Asar. And the Rav is denying that. That's an important today. Hilkach says the Rajbam, Kivin hu modi lema'arer v'shaloh haisa, since he admits that he's a Marakama, hodos bavin kemeim dami, there's no taking that back. The gam modi hu she'eni odeim lokha mocha lo min abaylim imlav, he also admits that he doesn't have a taina. The lo tonda d'zavna minach kamoy, he never claimed I was there when he bought it from you. The after all, there's another way to solve the gap. That's the Gemara on Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara there says, as we've talked about many times, that if there's evidence that the Mocher, the middleman, was Dorbe Chad Yoma, he was there for one day, then Taninan will step in and say, you know what, he was there for a day, probably there's a good basis for his claim that he bought the property. Fine. But here there's no Dorbe Chad Yoma either. So no Dorbe Chad Yoma, nor no Kamedidi Zavna, no Taina, you're not going to win. Aval Hicks Executive Shonen Vitoin Viplani Zavinta de Zavna Minach, Kamoy Didi. Let's say he was there for 3 years, and he claimed Ploni Zavinta, I bought it from the other guy, and he bought it from you in my presence. Klomar, she adopted the birur, she lokha minach, neman the ego, that'll be neman. The bay amar, onozvinta minach, vechaltiya shnei chazaka. Just like he could have said, I bought it from you. Right? So we believe him when he says, I was there when he bought it from you. In all those cases, whether it's darbe chad yomo, which is a bigger chiddush, or kamoy didi, right? He bought it from you, there's a taina. But in our case, there's no taina. Inami yesh leidim sheichzik v'mocher yamechad v'mocher minim v'kamam v'pirkin ha'udar v'kashta v'elita arba shenin. The guy was there for 4 years. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I bought it from the other guy, but I can prove that he was here for one day. That's going to help you too. V'hochem v'hayub, in our case, ha'pilim bo eidim sheichzik v'yamechad oso ha'mocher av ein yadua im lokach oso ha'mav ein ha'mov klum b'achar shezeh lo hichzik yivushanim. Here, if you had the Darbe Chad Yoma, but you didn't have the other part, there was no Pesha Asar, there was no Shtar, there was no Chazaka, that wouldn't help you either. Because then you have a Taina Bali Raya. You need a Taina and a Raya. That's the Rashba. Okay. So it's a bit of a complicated case, but to sum up, basically what we have here is a situation where it's a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir, basically. You have, according to the Rashbam's understanding, you have a situation where the Marakama wouldn't exist if not on some level for the machzik. Nonetheless, in absence of a taina, it doesn't work. And we still have the Ramban and the Raibid. What if the mocher had a taina? What if the mocher is the source for marakama, but the lokeach machzik is now the guy who's in the property and is involved in the din Torah? With the mocher is pesha, so pesha hitir help the lokeach. That's the argument between the Raibid and the Ramban. Let's hold off on the Raibid and the Ramban for a minute. Let's instead discuss Tosas. There's a very long Tosas here, Lamed Amud Aleph, and it's one of the most famous Tosas in this Perek, anywhere actually. It's, it deals with the topic of what's known in the terminology as Migu Lamafreya. I'll tell you what that means first, so I'll just go a little more quickly. What's that? Yeah, exactly. I'm going to tell you Lamafreya. Migu Lamafreya means as follows. A regular case of Migu, as we've been discussing, is a case where, at the moment, we're assessing my claim. I'm making a claim. I had an alternative claim. The power of that alternative claim enhances my present claim. Okay? I could say, Lahadam, I never met you before in my life. There's no evidence that we've ever met or had any kind of relationship. Therefore, if I admit that I know you, and that we've had some sort of financial transaction, right, since I could deny our financial transaction, you should believe me about the conditions of that transaction. That's a migu. Now, in a regular case of migu, or just like what we discussed a moment ago, right? I claim that I bought the property, I claim that I witnessed the sale of this property between the marakama and the mocher. Right? I could deny, if I wanted to, I could deny that you're the Marakama. So, Migu, it's even stronger, that's a Peshasar, but Migu Divay Amar, since he could say, what are you doing here? You have no claim on this property. You have no proof that you're a Marakama. And instead, he's being honest, and he's admitting that you are a Marakama. Neman Lomar, he should be believed to say, even if he doesn't have Gimushanim, right, I bought the property from you. I admit that you're the previous owner. I'm giving you that. But I'm claiming that I bought the property. That's a case of Migu. So a routine case of Migu is a case where I have, when I'm about to make my claim, which we're going to assess from a legal point of view, right? We're going to assess the effectiveness of that claim. At this moment, I have an alternative taina. I have a potential taina, which is a winning taina. And the idea of Migu is, since I have that alternative, I can win this case. Therefore, when I choose not to go that route, but to go the present taina, right, you should believe me. That's Migu. What happens in a situation where you've already given up the alternative taina? At one point, you had two tainas. You could have either made taina A and won, right? Or said taina B. And until you actually let the cat out of the bag, until you already revealed that taina A is not credible, right? That gave you the credibility to be believed on taina B. Let's say you already have given up taina A. Taina A is no longer viable. Right? 2 days ago, you had both of these options. Now you only have one option left. You've closed out taina A. Do you still have the claim of Migu? Can you say, well, yesterday I could have won this case by saying alternative one. Therefore, believe me now when I say alternative two, because yesterday I could have won this case with alternative one. Or do we only say Migu when the option of alternative A is present at the time when taina B is actually being made? That's called Migu Lamafreya. Do we say a retroactive Migu? Will we say the Migu that you had yesterday is still relevant to believing you today or not? So that's what this long Tosas discusses. Let's just run through it very quickly, the beginning part, and then we'll analyze what it's about. Lav kamodis dahi ara didayu. Pirush Rabbeinu Shmuel, dimuksak zegim oshanim. If a person is in the karka 3 years, the Toimi Plonius of Inte de Zavna Minach, and he claimed, Kamati D, sorry, it's very important, and he claims, I was present, I've been here 3 years, and I was present when the Mocher bought it from you before selling it to me. He will be believed, right, when he says that, because he had a migu in his pocket, meaning he had an alternative taina. He could have easily said, you know, forget about the middleman. I bought the property from you, I've been here for 3 years. Since he could have said that, we believe him when he says, right, I was present when he bought the property from you 3 years ago. Inami. Or if he had Aiden to establish that the Mocher was present a single day, based on the Gemara Mem Aleph Amud Beis, still a Kaman, everything the Rashbam says is correct. As long as it's a Taina, whether it's a Taina Paninan based on Dor Bechayoma, or the Taina of Kamedidi Zavna Minach, he bought it from you in my presence, those are both sufficient Tainas. We believe him if he has a migu in both cases. End of story. Rashbam's correct. Hechadiyesh edim l'ma'arer sharkarka shelo haisa. That's in a situation even where the marakama has independent proof that he's a marakama. Because even if we know he's a marakama, if you could claim that you bought it, the property from him 3 years ago and you've been there for 3 years, you're still going to win. Because 3 years of silence, right, wins the property. So even if we know he's Marakama independently, there's no Peshas and Peshayit there, still, if there's a Migu and a Taina, it'll work. But in our case here, as we explained, it sounds like the case is that it's a situation where the Ma'ar and the Marakama didn't have any evidence that he was Marakama. Midikama lav kamodis, right? He have a toin, kamididizav namina, chodor bechadyoma, hayanemon. So since in this case there's also Pesh also Peshahit there, the Marakama's claim, right, to any kind of authority is based on the Hodah of the Maksik. So again, that as long as the Maksik has a Taina, whether it's Dorbe Chanyoma or the Taina of Kamedidi Zavna, right, he bought it in my presence from you, that'll be fine as well, even without the Gimel Shanim. Because now my Migu is not, oh, I could have said I bought it from you directly, but I could have said you're not a Marakam. Right? In both cases, it doesn't really matter. All Tosis pointing out based on the Rashbam is that if you have a Taina and you have either a Pesha also Pesha Hitir or a Migu, which are very similar, we'll discuss the difference in just a minute, then you're in fine shape. The problem with our Gemara is the reason you're going to lose is because you just don't have a Taina. Avavadai Hashla, in our case, the Omer Biplanius of Inta Dezavna Minach, I bought it from him, he claims he bought it from you, Behoda Shahisa Shalom, and he admits, therefore, that initially you were the Marakama, Sulematan Nidin Kamedidi Zavna Minach, Ho Kamedidi Dorbe Chad Yoma, Nididi Bayomar, Bitchila, Lahoisa Shalcha Meolam. The Migul Mafre Alon Minan. So here's where Tosfos adds something new. Tosfos says, if I start off and I say, right, Dar Be Chad Yoma, believe me, Dar Be Chad Yoma, believe me, the guy was here for a whole day, right, even though there's no other evidence, because I could have said that you're not the Marakam. What? Believe me that I witnessed him buying the property, right? Migu di Bayamar, you're not the Marakama, fine. But what if he already gave away the store? What if earlier he already said, you are the Marakama? I admit you're the Marakama. He didn't yet, and then he said, at that time he said, I bought the property from the Mocher, who bought it from you, or who said who bought it from you. Right? Now, the judge comes to him and he says, listen, you're on the Taina. You're going to lose the case. And then he says, oh, I forgot to mention, Dorbe Chad Yoma, or I was there when the guy bought it. But he already gave away his secret weapon, right? The alternative finder. He already admitted that the guy was a Marakama. This is already stage two. So that's what Tosa says. Migu di Bay Omar Batila. The fact that he, an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago, could have said, right, the first Taina, you're not the Marakama. Lo Haisa Shulchan Me'olam. That doesn't work. The Migu di Mafrei Alo Amrinan. The Gemara later on, this is his interpretation of the Gemara later on, very far from being foolproof. The Gemara says as follows. Ha'ud dor b'kashata b'imita arba shenin. The guy's living in a second floor apartment for 4 years. The Amr, he says, Niploni zavinte d'zavna minach. I bought it from the mocher who bought it from you. But he hasn't said the magic words, kamididi zavni, I was there. He hasn't said the words, and he was there Dorbe Chadyom, right? But he's already given away exactly this case. He's given away the fact that you were the previous owner. Also the Kabbad Rav Chiya Amalei, they went to Rav Chiya and he said, I see Sadeh Dorbe Afilu Chadyom the Ukmi Labiyadeh. If you can bring witnesses, right, that the guy was there for a single day, that will be a Taina, right? And you have Gimel Shanim. So you have Gimel Shanim and a Taina, and you win the case. So what's Tosfos of Diuk? Mashma is a Diuk. It doesn't say this in the Gemara. The Ilesle Sahadi, right? Let's say he doesn't have witnesses of Dor Bechad Yoma, but he himself, right, can attest to the fact that it was Dor Bechad Yoma. Why do you need witnesses? Why can't I say, listen, if I was a liar, and yesterday I didn't have to admit, or an hour ago, I didn't have to admit that you're the previous owner. Right? So believe me now, when I tell you that Dorbe Chadyoma, that he was there a single day, doesn't seem like the Gemara thinks that that's good enough. Why don't they say that? Isn't that a bigger chiddush than saying they have to bring witnesses? Say that he's Naaman with his old Migu.
He had the four Shana
there. So what? But he didn't have a Taina. Right?
No.
He has four Shana, that's a Raya, but he doesn't have a, it's a Chazaka Sheni Mataina. Until he adds one of two things. Either Kama Didi Zavni Minach, I was there when he bought it from you, so I can connect the chain back to you. Or, based on Taninan, Dorbe Chadyoma. Now, if we have the Dorbe Chadyoma through witnesses, that'll be fine, because he has Gimel Shanim, and the witnesses will establish the equivalent of a Taina. So he has Chazaka, he has Raya, he has Taina. The question is, why can't he be believed to say, well, I can tell you Dorbe Chadyoma? Based on his own credibility, if he's a liar, then he wouldn't have admitted that the guy was Marakama. So Tosa says the reason for that is because he already gave that away. That's Migul Mafreya. If now, when he came for the first time, he said, he is the Marakama, right? But I bought it from Ploni, who I saw with my own eyes, was Dorbe Chadyoma. I didn't see him buying it from Ploni, right? Ploni told me he bought it from him, that he's the original owner. I didn't see it, right? But I did see Dorbe Chadyoma. Tosis is assuming that that would work. That would work. In other words, Dorbe Chadyoma can be established. Now the truth is, I'll tell you the truth, the Baal Amor and the Ramban and the Rashba and the Rebbe Yonah, a whole group of Rishonim, are of the opinion that this is just not correct. Meaning, even if it was an upfront migu, not a migu l'mafreya, you can't establish Dorbe Chadyoma by means of a migu. Now, why that's true? That each one has a different explanation. Because that's why not? Tosis is assuming that in theory, just like you believe a person about other claims with a migu, right, establishing or buttressing his credibility. So too, if a guy claims Dorbe Chadyoma, if you believe him, it's the equivalent of having Eidim. The only problem for Tosis is, and that's what Tosis has shot here, it's just interesting. This is what he chose to zero in on when he was convinced, in other words, the problem. The problem is that it's Migul Mafreya. Meaning he already gave away the store. If he hadn't given away the store, then he'd have a Migu. If he had a Migu, we'd believe him with Dorbe Chadyoma. So this is one of Tosis' proofs that Migul Mafreya lo Amrinan. Ein Nema Lomar Kamedidizar Dorbe Chadyoma the Migu. the Bayom Minog Sininte, or let him say now, again, he came to court, he said, I bought the property from the Mocher, who bought it from you. You're the regional owner, I bought it from him. Right? Then they come to him, they say, sorry, you didn't see that, you're missing a taina. He says, oh, did I forget to tell you that that I was there when the Mocher bought the property from the Marakama? Are we supposed to believe him now or not? Why should we believe him? On the basis of what? Again, remember, the Marakama denies it. We would believe somebody in a vacuum. The whole point is that there's a you know, claim counterclaim. The Marakama says, I never sold anything to this Mocher. But now he's saying it. Now he already gave away his taina. That the other guy is maybe not the Marakama. Same exact situation. It's Yorbe Kadyoma or Kamedidi Zavna. The Tosa says, Kivan Shakbar Hoda, the Lav Minei Zavna, since he already gave away the store, Leislei Sumigu, the Engel Lahamino, the Maida Kamar Hashta, Mitok Shaha Yachal Shaka, Betchila, Kodem Shahoda. We don't say Migu Lamafreya. We don't say, oh, he had a Migu on this topic, right? Let's continue to award him the benefits of the migu that he had. Your migu ran out when you no longer have access to the alternative taina. Then at that point, you lose the benefit, right, of the reinforcement that taina gives you. Why should that be true? Or why should not be true? So Tosus here says a line, the law of the masik adaite shayazaku kutaina zu. Tosfos says the reason is, Tosfos gives a very pragmatic reason. Now this, let me just like say one thing. This theory of Tosfos, which as you see, it's really fascinating. Tosfos worked very hard to prove this, meaning it's based on diukim of different gemaras. It's a very subtle issue, right? The idea of a migu lamafreya. A lot of mental energy going into this. So now the question is, but Tosfos believes this all over Shas. Tosfos in Ksubas, Tosin Sanhedrin, you'll see in a minute, he quotes some of the other rayas. The place that he quotes from, if you look at the Tosin in there, you'll see the same doctrine. Tosin Ksivas Tav Kuf Tes, Tosin Sanhedrin Lamed Aleph, the Gemara that I quote, they all say, Migul Mafreya Lo Amina. Only here, I think, does he give this particular explanation. Now, the explanation that he gives here is a pragmatic one. He's basically saying, listen, you know, at the time when he gave away his alternative, maybe he just wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking that he had a problem. It's not a great sign of his credibility, meaning he knew he had a problematic taina, but he wanted to tell the truth, and therefore he should get credit for his truth-telling. That should reinforce, you know, our profile, you know, of his honesty, etc. No. At the time, he didn't know Hilchos, he didn't go to the Shiurim on Chatzkos Habatim, right? He didn't know what the rules were. He thought, by saying, I got it from him. What do you want from me? I got it from the Mocher. The Mocher told me he got it from him. He didn't realize I was a losing taina. If he didn't realize it was a losing taina, the fact that he, you know, had a, you know, a lie that, you know, was in his pocket that he didn't use is irrelevant. If I think I'm going to win with the truth, right, then not going the root of the lie is not admirable. If I think I'm going to lose with the truth, or I might lose with the truth, or I have something to gain by the lie, right, then migu is a far more palatable idea. So what Tosa says is, the reason that migu lamafreya, lo amrinan, is because he wasn't thinking. Right, he didn't have he wasn't roas hanolad, so he thought he was going to win with the taina that he made. Right, turns out that he miscalculated. Right, too bad for him. It doesn't reflect anything when he thought that he had a winning taina, or that the other taina was no better. That didn't reflect anything. Now he doesn't have it. Migul Mafreya Lo Amrina. However, there's another possible explanation. As we mentioned, this is one of the things that we want to pursue a little more fully. Right? There are generally in the world out there, there's this view that there are two perspectives on migu. I think that both views need to be moderated and analyze further, but in general, generally speaking, I think there are clearly two perspectives. I think that's absolutely correct. One is what's called sometimes birur, and the other is sometimes called schusataina or koachataina or namanus. What you call it is irrelevant. The basic two paradigms go as follows. One is that migu is about credibility. Could be about personal credibility, the begavra, or the credibility of this particular claim. Basically, the idea is what the Gemara sometimes calls, when it refers to migu, is mali l'shaker. Meaning, if I'm a liar, I have a better lie. Better because I can accomplish more with it, better because it's more credible or more convenient. An equal or a better way of achieving this goal. So as a gauge of my credibility, my personal honesty, right, that's how migu helps me. Migu establishes that I'm an honest man, and therefore you should believe me. That's one way to look at migu. The other way to look at migu, the skusa taina, kolacha taina, whatever you want to call it, way, is to say as follows. This man has a winning hand. He could achieve the goal of keeping this karka, of keeping this object, of winning this object. He's basically in a position of strength. His alternative, taina, the one in the pocket, the lie, gives him control over the situation. And since he's in control, right, that affects his nemanus. We don't necessarily believe it more, but we call it mukzakus. Right? It's almost like he's a machzik. You know, it's his to lose now. He doesn't have to win it. He's got it already. The alternative kind of gives him access to this object. That's a much more mechudash idea, a kind of mukzakus created by an alternative, especially a lying alternative in some cases. Not always a lie, but in many cases it's a lie. But that's the idea. We're not saying anything about personal honesty. It's a power issue. Is he in a position of strength, and therefore that will contribute to his ability simply to win as Cain the Moxic. So many people explain that that's the issue of Migul Mafreya. Well, again, what's Migul Mafreya? Migul Mafreya means yesterday, right, I could have won this case in two ways. Today, I've already, you know, let the secret out, and I've precluded alternative number one. I've given away the secret weapon. Now, as a shiur, as a way of gauging my personal credibility, if you take Tosus's line out of it, the line that says this guy just didn't know what he was doing, he wasn't thinking ahead, you know, he wasn't calculating enough, then he was just talking. Now he's being strategic. He wasn't strategic yesterday, right? Eliminate that line. So then we might explain as follows. From a Birur point of view, from a credibility point of view, you should say Migul Mafreya. What difference does it make that I no longer have access to this taina? The fact that I had access and I didn't use the lie, which was still, let's say, equal or maybe even stronger Migul if it was even more beneficial, the fact that I passed off an opportunity for a more effective, right, argument establishes my personal veracity. Now, I lost that because of my personal veracity, because I wasn't calculating, you know, to keep the information to myself until the moment, you know, when I was going to articulate the second taina. I mean, the issue of timing, if you set aside Tosus's comment about, you know, not being medakdek, the issue of timing is irrelevant to personal honesty. However, it's not at all irrelevant to the question of mukzakus / schusataina. If I say, we never believe the balamigu more because of his other taina, we believe him, or we give him them on us, what we do is we establish that he, you know, is in a stronger position by virtue of the reality that he can win the case. So as long as he can win the case with the alternative, he has that status. The second that he no longer has that in his pocket, right, he's the same man, his credibility hasn't gone down, but his power has gone down. Right? Chaval, but, you know, the reality now is that he can't win this case. He doesn't have a winning taina in his pocket. So Migalama Preya Lo Amrina. Now there is a major debate, Lahalacha, whether we accept Migalama Preya or not. Tosis quotes a number of proofs. The first proof, based on his reading of the Sugya of Darbe Chad Yoma, etc., is highly, highly debatable, as I already mentioned. Number one, it's based on Diyukim, that it makes a difference in the order of the Gemara. Not so clear. Number two, even if you accept all the Diyukim of Tosis, all the Diyukim really prove is that Migu doesn't work to establish Darbe Chad Yoma. Right? We don't know why. Tosis says because it's a Migu Lamafreya. Could be for other reasons. As we noted, I say the Balamor has his reason, the Bramban has his reason, everybody has a different explanation. Ben Yona has another reason. There are several other explanations as to why Migu Night might not work for Darbe Chad Yoma. So the sugya of Darbe Chad Yoma, Mem Aleph, Holy Base, is not a strong positive proof for Migu Lamafreya. Tosis has two other proofs, which we'll get to when we finish this up next week. One from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, another from the Gemara in Shavuos, which are also refutable. Let me just say it this way. The rush in Ksuvis on Kuftesim and Beis, possibly Rashi and Kuftesim and Beis, as Tosis here also points out, may dispute Rashi and Sanhedrin on an Aleph. There's good reason to think that they read these Gemaras differently. They're certainly not held to the standard necessarily that Migu Lamafreya Lo Amrina. Moreover, in some of the cases, Rashi in particular in Ksuvas, Rashi seems to say that the case in Ksuvas, which we'll discuss next week, is the case of Pasha Asa Pesha Hitir. Is there a difference between Migu Lamafreya and Pasha Asa Pesha Hitir Lamafreya? Again, just to refresh everybody's memory, just for one more minute. A classic case of Migu is a case where somebody makes a claim and I have to respond. The only thing is, I have more than one potential response. I have a winning response for a better response, right? And then there's that's alternative one. And then there's the response that I make, alternative two. And we want to know what impact having in my pocket alternative one, what impact does that have on alternative two? That's Migu. Pasha Asa Pesha Hitir is one notch, at least one notch, better. Quantitatively, and maybe even qualitatively. Pasha Asa Pesha Hitir means that if I were silent, there would be no case against me. Pesha Asar, I indict myself. Pesha Hitir, I can free myself. That's much stronger than simply I can get out of this problem with alternative one. Right? So believe me when I say alternative two. I don't have to be in the problem in the case of Pesha Asar. I could be silent. I bring the problem, right, to the fore. And surely, in terms of pure credibility, that gives me even more credibility. What an honest man I am. Moreover, Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, as we discussed before, qualitatively has a whole different theme. And that is, take or leave what I'm saying, just don't edit it. Meaning, me Manashok. You think I'm an honest man? Accept my whole statement. You think I'm a dishonest man? Reject my whole statement. Don't accept the Pesha Asar part and reject the Pesha Hitir part. Right? Nishpat Echad, no Palgina. That you don't have in Migu, that you have in Pesha Asar. What I'm asking is, even if you say Migu Lamafreya Lo Amrinan, maybe Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir Lamafreya Amrinan, especially if we say that Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, even if Migu's not a Biror, Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir may be a Biror. By bringing this whole problem on myself, I've certainly established myself as an honest man. And therefore the fact that right now I no longer have the means to solve the problem, as I did previously, because I broke it up in time, I Pesha Asar'd, you know, and then only 2 days later did I Pesha Hitir. Right. Nonetheless, maybe we could see. So we'll follow through with that and then get back to the Raivin and Ramban issue. Hopefully we'll have real files, corrupted ones, temporary ones, next week.